It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello there, and welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here. On today's show, we have an excellent guest, Dr. Andrew Blumberg. He's a pediatrician who graduated from the George Washington School of Medicine and who is currently practicing in Orange County. Welcome, Dr. Blumberg.
Hi, good morning, Deborah.
Thanks so much for being with us. Let's talk
pleasure.
A little bit of... I'm sorry.
My pleasure, Heisen.
You know, I have so many questions for you. I guess I just wanted to jump right in to talk about pertussis today because it's in the news more and more. First of all, it sounds like I'm getting it right now. What is pertussis, and is it different from whooping cough? Are they the same?
Well, pertussis is just the name of the bacteria that causes whooping cough, so they're exactly the same. And it is it's a bacterial infection that usually affects infants and young children, but it can also affect teenagers and adults. But the children and the infants are the ones that are more susceptible to it. It's highly contagious, and it hits the respiratory system. And if it usually can start out with, like, just cold symptoms with no fever, and then within a two-week period, there's a severe, very severe cough where the infant or the young child loses his breath and makes the whooping type sound.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking when you hear it.
Yeah, it's something that once you hear it, actually you hear it more with older kids than you do with the infants, but with the infants, they just get really sick very quickly, and that's the problem that we're facing today in our county.
So how is it spread?
Well, it's spread by human air droplets, so it's someone coughing in your face, sneezing in your face. So it's spread like the simple cold.
Okay. Now, this is getting a little technical here, but I mean, if I'm sitting next to somebody on an airplane who happens to have whooping cough, the actual droplets of his sneeze would have to land on my arm or in my face, or I would have to breathe it in?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay. All right. So if you have a mask on, you're safe if you're traveling and you're susceptible to things like this.
Yeah, most likely, yeah, you are safe.
Okay. So keep those pathways, the nose and the mouth, and can you get infected if someone coughs in your ear?
Yeah, you know, when the droplets, there's so many of them when someone coughs. I mean, when you see a picture of it, you say, oh, my God. There's not just one droplet. If it's going to hit your ear, it's all over your face, and you're going to breathe it in.
I see.
Now, understand that even if you're exposed to it and to the droplets, that doesn't mean that you'll be infected.
Okay. If you have a great immune system, you can fight
it. If you have a good immune system and you've been vaccinated, then that doesn't mean that that will help you. The problem that we're facing is that after the kindergarten shot, which is usually the kids get it at the 5-year checkup, the immunization starts to wane. So by the time you're a teenager and an adult, you become susceptible again to pertussis, but the symptoms are not as bad.
I see. Okay. Now, how is it diagnosed?
Well, it's diagnosed once the doctor suspects it. They usually call it an MP swab, which is a little cotton swab that the doctor puts up the child's nose all the way in the back. It's not the most pleasant thing, but it's quick. And then that's sent to the lab, and they do certain tests on it.
Okay. And say it comes back positive. What's the next thing? How do we treat it?
Well, if the way, you know, the problem is it's such a contagious disease that if once you suspect it, and this is guidelines from the CDC, if you highly suspect it enough to culture it, you start to treat the child.
Okay.
And it's usually with an antibiotic. It's usually with a form of erythromycin. And obviously the individual doctor can get into the specifics about that. But again, since it's so contagious, In California this year, you suspect it, culture it, and treat it.
Okay, so drugs are the way to go. Why do you think there's such an epidemic right now in California?
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, certainly California, is there's a large population. To date, you know, there's been close to 6,000 reported cases, which is 4 times usual, and it's the highest number of cases reported in 60 years.
Wow. That's not
good. And it's just that we are more the bacteria that little pertussis guy, you know, it goes in cycles. You know, 1 year it's not too bad, another year it's like when you have a bad flu season and not a bad flu season.
Sure.
But unfortunately, since so many children are not being vaccinated, which is another topic altogether,
right?
That they are now highly susceptible in getting this, and they get it from their parents, they can get it from a caregiver, and they get it, and it spreads. So that's one of the reasons that we're seeing such an enormous increase of this disease, and it's very serious.
So high population, not getting vaccine, and just a cycle. Those are the three factors.
Yeah, it's sort of like the perfect storm.
Okay, wow. Now, what can be done to help prevent the onset and spread of the illness?
Well, the number one thing, besides what we've talked before about hand washing, not being exposed to the person that's with it, is immunization and being vaccinated for it.
Okay. Why are people so, they're just so fearful of these vaccinations?
Well, there have been reports, you know, there's not enough time to get into the specifics. You know, people have fear that these vaccines can cause autism. I mean, that's the number one thing. Or it can cause a neurologic problem. And this has been exploded on the Internet now. The Internet's great. However, there's so many blogs and so much fear that people are starting to believe when a parent has a child who has a problem and swears that it's from the immunization. But all studies have shown it doesn't cause autism. And that's one of the reasons that there are so many people that have a fear of vaccines. They think we're going to hurt their kids.
Right.
Which is obviously something we don't want to do.
The percentile is so small for risk, right?
For autism or something of that nature? Well,
yes.
All the studies have shown there's no correlation at all.
Okay, so the risk is zero for autism then. So I hope people are listening and getting this message.
Yeah, it's really important. And there have been 10 deaths in California, unfortunately, and they've all been kids less than 3 months of age. And that's because these little babies are the most highly susceptible kids around because they're not vaccinated at all, or perhaps they've gotten their first one at 2 months, and that doesn't fully protect them at all. So it's so important that people that have close exposure to these babies, the caregivers, must be up to date with their immunizations also, or they may get what they think is a cold and it's pertussis, and it could pass on to the young baby.
Right. At what point do you take your child to the doctor?
Well, that's a good question.
Babies cough all the time, you know?
Yeah. Well, the unfortunate thing with pertussis is that it usually starts like the common cold, and there's no fever.
Mm-hmm.
No fever. Now, most people think, oh, if you don't have a fever, you're not sick. In this situation, it's the beginning. And then during the two-week period, if in fact it is pertussis, there will be an increasing cough. And that's the time to bring the child in. The baby or the child starts to cough in this outbreak, they should be brought in to the doctor.
Okay. Now, I understand there are some new recommendations and laws pertaining to vaccination of school children.
Yeah. It was just passed as of September 1st, 2010. I'm reading this now. The Cal OSHA standard of transmissible diseases that all hospitals and all outpatient facilities, all the people that work there must be vaccinated. That's number one.
Okay,
number two,
good.
The California Assembly passed a bill just about a week ago, bill number 354, that requires students to be vaccinated at a certain period of time. From July 1st, 2011, for that year until the following year, all students in the 7th to 12th grades need proof of vaccination. And then July 1st, 2012, all students entering the 7th grade must be vaccinated for pertussis.
Excellent, excellent information. Thank you so much. Today we are speaking with Dr. Andrew Blumberg. He really knows his stuff about pertussis or whooping cough. Coming up, we're going to talk about how you can protect yourself against the flu as we head into flu season. And for more information on Dr. Bloomberg, that's very easy. You can visit hoaghospital.org, and you can also listen to the podcast of this show whenever you like and tell a friend. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. Please stay with us. There is much, much more to come, and tell a friend.